Alrighty, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Once again, it's your pal Soli, and I am here to discuss with Bulletproof's action, Chris Kavinsky, on the career of the otherwise unstoppable Carl Weathers, former college footballer turned actor.
Yes, Carl Weathers, a wonderful laugh, a wonderful man, and he's had one hell of a career, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Mm-hmm. 1000%. You know him for his recurring roles on Street Justice, Arrested Development, The Shield, Chicago Justice and Fire, as well as most recently The Mandalorian. He is probably better known for playing Apollo Creed in the Rocky movies, Colonel Dillon in the first Predator movie, and Chubbs in the Happy Gilmore Little Nicky universe. So what was your introduction? Was it just kind of just his main signature movie roles, or were you just kind of later on where people were just, where he's making fun of himself? Or
it was definitely Apollo Creed. It was the Rocky movie. So yeah, that was definitely the one. Obviously Rocky 3 was probably the one I remember the most vividly. And then the tragedy of Rocky IV, where they kill him off. So
yes, and
and when they did the director's cut, you know, there was a little part I knew it wasn't going to happen, but there was part of me was like, could they keep him alive in that director's cut?
Oh, 1000%.
Still didn't happen.
His movies were almost always on TV. I didn't see so much Action Jackson, but he was in this one stupid Sci-Fi Channel movie called Alien Siege, which was pretty much a Predator knockoff. And TNT used to reshow their original movies, Shadow Warriors.
With the Hulkster on. Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, yeah. And yeah. He was literally still in Predator mode. He's taking out a minigun against a fake-looking background and shooting up the place. But it was funny how kind of like in Germany and Japan, and I think you've noted before how he had all these other movies like, what's the one? He had this TV movie with Billy Dee Williams called Dangerous Passion, as well as Hurricane Smith. And
Hurricane Smith, yeah.
Overseas, they were like marketed as like Action Jackson sequels. And it's like, no, but okay.
No, not at all. Yeah, I've seen both of those in the past year. And Hurricane Smith, not too bad. The Dangerous Passion one was a little boring. But I mean, it wasn't meant to be an action film. So I think that's part of it,
I think he's good in Friday Foster. I never really cared for Bucktown, but it was wild how he was like briefly in blaxploitation films and then
But you know what, the one thing I like about Bucktown, and it set the tone for his whole career, is the names. He has awesome character names more often.
Hambone
is a pretty freaking awesome name.
And I mean, so used to seeing him like always be like a traitor or an anti-hero, like, and that's before we get to freaking Predator and even Mandalorian, right? Where this is like in that one, he literally just like betrays the guy. Why? Because
that's his nature. Yeah.
And all the many times I've seen Magnum Force and Close Encounters, I've never spotted him, but I don't know.
I did spot him in Close Encounters. I can't say I saw him in Magnum Force, but it's been a while for Magnum Force.
It's just kind of wild, though, how like once he got to the 2000s, unlike all the other like muscle men, he didn't really have to worry about like even being in anything big. He could just do casual like TV guest spots and voiceovers. And
that's another thing I think I wanted to bring up about him is he was never the guy. So yeah. It's like it never felt odd for him to do anything. Like he didn't like if Arnold Schwarzenegger suddenly was on a sitcom, that'd be odd. But if Carl Weathers showed up, you'd think nothing of it. You'd think nothing of it because he's always gone up and down the ladder of TV movies, regular direct to video, feature movie, you know, and he's all over the place. Big parts, little parts, anything can happen when you're Carl Weathers, and he just goes with it. And that's obviously helped him out because he's, as we said, a very long career. And yeah, now part of the expanded Star Wars universe. So that's a pretty big deal.
That's a huge ass deal. And Bermuda Depths, I keep seeing reviewed on various podcasts. Apparently it's an obscure TV movie, which everyone just remembers because he is like a year after he did Rocky. And it's like, he's just going around like, shirtless taking on a giant like monster.
I need to find that movie.
But in the internet days, kind of like many of the other like various B-movie stars, all the Michael Ironsides, Lance Henriksen's, Tony Todd's, and even the other has-beens that keep finding work, like Lou Diamond Phillips and Ron Perlman. Like, he was very easy to find a lot of his movies on, a easy to, you know, watch DVD, semi-tough, I know, is like a movie favorite because it's a Burt Reynolds, Kris Kristofferson joint, and he's just one of the supporting ones. But even ever since I was 12, like, AMC and even the military channel would just show Force 10 from Navarone, nonstop. And he doesn't really have as big a part, and yet he just feels, like you say, like in all these movies, just so right at home, because you don't have to believe that, you know, he doesn't have to prove himself. He has the muscle, he has the likability, he has,
yeah,
he just fits in with any troop, and he just focuses on him. And I think it helps that he's been a private enough person. You never know. You've never heard anything about him.
Scandals or
about him having slapping a PA.
Right, or having 18 different wives and this.
Yeah. Trophy wives are a no go. He's been married 3 different times and divorced each one, but I've never heard of anyone say, oh, he was a mistake. Oh, I don't like him. And it's just kind of cool to know that he's also just occasionally like produced and directed some stuff. And
yeah, he did, I think he's directed a Mandalorian,
he did an episode, yeah,
18 Wheels of Justice, he did Silk Stockings, one of that my was all-time a show favorite. Oh, I loved it. So USA Network classic.
I recall it was like a Spike TV thing. I never saw the ads, but I just always heard it was like, it literally kind of an underground hit. And TV spot wise the Psych episode is hysterical that he's in, because oh, you've seen it, yeah. I mean,
yes, William DeVayner. Psych was one of my favorites. Absolute one of my favorites. Again, USA Network has been with me from my earliest cable days to now. Yeah. So, being a big WWE fan helps too, because that's pretty much been their home more often than not.
That so. When it wasn't them showing reruns of Dick Wolf shows, and right. It's cool to know he was part of that universe. I always wanted to see Street Justice because, you know, it had him and Dudikoff. I have Tour of Duty.
Not Dudikoff, kind of, Brian Genesee.
Brian Jeunesse. Yes, sorry. And so, yeah, Cobra, not to be confused with the slow movies. That's right.
Cobra is the Dudikoff.
And those TV sets are like very high priced, but unfortunately, some of them are on streaming. It's kind of wild because when he's on Chicago Justice, even though he plays the main state attorney, it's just awesome because he gets to like talk about Vietnam stories, and again, he's in a lot of key crossovers with Chicago PD, Justice, and SVU, so he's just awesome like in that role, because it's like he gets to hold his own and give an awesome speech to where you're almost, he might as well have gut punched you. I'm like, I believe you, Carl. And he's not just the typical I want justice, you know, because the title begs it. He's more like, just play it soft and let them show their hand. And it's just awesome that they wrote that character that way, because like you say, all his other roles, yeah, it's him. It's what you would believe coming out of his mouth. Back when Mega Upload was a thing and Rapid Share, I was able to catch him on a lot of other B movies, and I was fortunate enough to see his TV remake of The Defiant Ones.
Yes,
with Robert Ulrich. And it's a decent, surprisingly decent TV remake. I've never seen Fortune Dane. That was a very short-lived show, and then I think they like,
I have Fortune Dane on VHS. I think it was like the 2-hour pilot.
Yeah, they like edited 2 episodes
or jammed them together to make a movie. Yeah, it was odd. It's like the opening almost seems like he was doing a Carl Weathers home workout video. Kind of like Dolph Lundgren did that. I think his was like Maximum Sweat Potential. I think Carl Weathers was doing his own, and they just inserted that into the Fortune Dane. I want to say Fortune Dane, all 6 episodes were streaming somewhere recently. When I was looking for Street Justice and couldn't find it, I did see that Fortune Dane.
Oh, I bet it has to at this point. Someone's got to get it in the canon.
So that's why I had to pull the trigger and just buy Street Justice, but it wasn't too, I found it pretty cheap. So I've been enjoying me some Street Justice. Anytime I'm not doing something for BulletproofAction.com, I will just like, I don't have to watch anything to review. I just want to watch something to enjoy. I've been watching Street Justice.
Well, and that's just it. It just like Nash Bridges and even any kind of Miami Vice, you can just have it on the background. It mm-hmm. really is comfort food, regardless of how serious you want to take it. And that's just the where I miss those kind of shows. You can kind of say they kind of did that with something like Hawaii Five-0, the recent one. But I mean, even when in the heat of the night, that was I really dug that because like you saw how he's becoming the new chief. And mm-hmm. I think the reason that show has been like lived on as just every other network syndicates it is it just makes you kind of it just feels so human without over depressing you or mm-hmm. and the family can watch it without getting too offended,
right?
Like, oh, this is, you know, like Criminal Minds or Millennium, it's blurring the line between PG-13 and R. And like you say, I mean, he's the Toy Story role I think is wild because he's basically still kind of like the Adam Sandler roles. He's making fun of his Predator character where he keeps losing a limb.
Right.
And that character was wild because kind of like the other supporting characters, he just appeared in a lot of the shorts that were like on the DVD or made for TV. And then they finally had him appear in the fourth one. But
and again, with the name Chubbs, it just goes Chubbs. In with his fantastic character names. Very memorable.
Yeah, Apollo, Chubbs, and Dylan.
Hambone. Don't forget Sundog back in the Death Hunt. Bronson and Lee Marvin.
Harry Breaker.
Fortune, even Fortune Dane, even though it was only a short-lived, I mean, that's still a good name. Jericho Action Jackson is a tremendous name. So.
Oh, it's amazing. Even Skylar from the Forgettable Alien Siege, that's an amazing name. Did you ever have the chance to play the video game Mercenaries Playground Destruction?
I cannot say that I had the pleasure of doing
so. He plays Colonel Garrett, and I love that game because it was a Lucasfilm Pandemic joint, so they allowed you to change your... You could pick either the Swedish guy, who was voiced by Peter Stormare, who was the other gal? You could pick the MI6 gal, who's like a Chinese-British agent. And I always played as Chris Jacobs, who was voiced by Phil Lamar. He was like a Delta Force guy, but he has like the snappiness of like a Wesley Snipes type character. But
okay.
Carl Weathers was hysterical because he's like the main American contact you get. And the video game is awesome because it was kind of, it predates Just Cause, but it was very much following like a teen appropriate level of Grand Theft Auto, where so you could go around, you know, betraying various military factions and fight war and like between the North and South Korea area. And it was just a lot of fun. You could hijack tanks and they, much like Grand Theft Auto, you would drown in the water, but they fixed it in the second game. But Carl Weathers was just awesome because like he has kind of a few different Easter eggs, kind of like Predator, like there's just a few lines and everything. And it was just kind of cool to know because like even at that point, you know, I had just, you know, seen Apollo Creed character in the Rocky movie, so I was just like, oh yeah, that guy, yeah. And he was just awesome because like after you see his level, basically from that point on they sneak in even more like movie Easter eggs. And again, this was years before the Expendables were doing that, but like it was awesome because like you had all kinds of levels. Like you even had one where you had to kind of like speed. You had to be on a bus and you couldn't drop below, you know, 50 miles an hour or you'd lose the game, the mission.
And I'm glad you brought up the Expendables because why hasn't he been in any of those movies?
I think Stallone did say like back in the IMDb message boards that he was... Before he was calling Bruce Willis greedy, he kind of dubbed him as asking for too much. Mm. And then it sounded like he wanted a flashback, like in one of the Rocky movies or some shit like that. I'm just that doesn't make sense. He's already passed away.
I think he won. Yeah, I definitely remember maybe for Creed.
Maybe that's
he wanted to be Balboa. In Creed.
Yeah.
Or yeah, won. It could have been. Yeah, could have been
but,
that.
But either way, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're not on hot turf, but I mean, when I saw him on The Shield, I don't know if you ever saw that show. It was cool seeing him basically be the main character's mentor that every once in a while, like he's only in like literally two episodes, but he sticks with you because the characters often mention him. He's the main character's mentor. And ironically, he's always asking him to help him out with a few dirty things. Which ironically the main character who does all kinds of dirty stuff has a problem with, which is interesting seeing two dirty people who consider each other going too far. And but that was around the same time he was playing himself, you know, a fictional version of himself on Arrested Development. He had like a thing for snakes or some shit. And it was just so funny how he kind of, unlike other characters, like I think he, like you say, he just is so pleasant in any kind of role that you just go along with whatever he's doing. And it's not like, say, like Pacino or De Niro, where sometimes they can make fun of themselves and sometimes it just backfires. You're like, that was just bad. That was a very bad SNL skit, you know?
Yeah.
Extended to 2 hours.
I remember watching the Toy Story of Terror just because he played Combat Carl. Combat Carl. He
literally is a highlight. The thing is just easygoing, but like he's just awesome in it because like he just reminds everyone that you should be laughing. I haven't seen the regular show, but apparently he does some various cartoon voiceovers on that. And other than that one, Asylum, American Warships, I don't think he's really embarrassed himself much.
No, you know, again, I'm interested in seeing him as President Weathers, though, and Sheriff Tom versus the Zombies, because I'd vote for Carl Weathers as president. I know that
I would do
that
it.
Much.
He apparently played Briggs recently in Mortal Kombat 10. Like he used his likeness and everything.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah,
he's a man who does not know how to stop working. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think everyone just truly likes him. And like you say, he doesn't come off as unapproachable or unpleasant.
Unless you're Stallone, apparently.
I guess unless you're Stallone and don't give him his due. But yeah, being a professional football guy and in college and then actually being a professional is like that's something. But yeah, his dad was a day laborer, so I can only imagine he had a lot of that same mentality. Is like, put in your time, don't waste anyone else, and be proud of what you do. But it is funny how, yeah, you brought up how he's like he really is the best thing about the Toy Story short. It's already decent, but it's just cool having him in that because then it's something for the adults to laugh at while the kids enjoy.
Yeah, that was pretty much because, yeah, you know, Toy Story came well after I was a youngster. So I'm not a Toy Story fan, but I think he was probably tweeting about it. And I'm like, what? Carl Weathers is involved? I'm there.
I am so there. Yeah,
I've got a half hour to kill on a random Wednesday. Yeah, I'll watch that. Why not? And it was fun. He was good in it.
Everybody wins. Yeah. And so I guess the ultimate question is Dylan or Apollo Creed. I mean, they're two sides of the same coin, but which role do you think is kind of more beloved? Because Apollo's awesome because he's on the opposing team, and then you come to understand him, and then he's an ally. And then Dylan, you know, he's just, you know, a contractor.
Right. Yeah, I think you got to go Apollo just based on the fact that both of them died. Does anybody really cry that Dylan dies?
No, but
it's a sad moment when poor Apollo.
What's funny is I have seen some people who, I don't know if they're being funny or just don't care, but it's just so funny how I've seen some Dylan apologists, and some of them sound especially like the Rick and Morty and Walter White Breaking Bad ones, where it's like, dude, did you even watch the same movie? He's cool.
I wasn't happy that Dylan died, but he didn't have that. You know, that's the other thing. Apollo had at that point, he was four movies in. So we really got to know.
Really got to attach.
Creed. We got, you know, he was quite the showman in the first two. And even if, you know, he's kind of the quote unquote bad guy in those two, he wasn't really bad. He was just, you know, he was trying to do his thing. He was the champion. He was the Muhammad Ali of those movies. And then, yeah, he was the man who helped bring Rocky back, got him that Eye of the Tiger back. And then he's there having a good old time with James Brown and being that showman. And that evil Russian Dolph Lundgren came in and Ivan Drago'd his ass. And that was the end of it. So, yeah, I would think that Apollo is the more beloved of the two. But, you know, Dylan's
1,000.
I'm going to tell you what, Dylan, and as a kid, you know, you associated Carl Weathers with Sylvester Stallone because of the Rocky movies. And now it's like, whoa, now he's working with Arnold. You know, just that alone was like, I have to see this movie, Predator. I have to. And I was too young to see it to go on my, I tried, me and my friend tried to go, And they're like, no, you guys are too young. So we ended up seeing Spaceballs instead.
Oh. Well.
But then, yeah, maybe a couple weeks later, I got my dad to take me to see Predator. And what a fine movie.
Glad that worked out.
And Spaceballs wasn't a bad second option there. So
no, it's hysterical. I'm surprised he wasn't in it. So I haven't. So you were able to see Sheriff Tom versus the Zombies, or it's just...
I did not see that. But
I think it's just like a trauma film or something, because there's like two sequels to it, but...
I might have to check it out over this spooky season coming up.
Yeah, there you go.
Seems like a good enough excuse if I needed one.
It, totally. And he surprisingly actually got an NAACP award nom for Action Jackson, so...
Oh,
I never knew that. All I knew is
that, I didn't know that either. But it was that hated movie, by
critics, and we of course.
I hate those critics.
Yeah, well, I can't blame anyone who hates them, because I mean, this is like, it's a Joel Silver production classic. You know? It's so much fun.
It was, and you know, it's so, and I know it didn't make a ton of money, but it was also released like in February. Not really the hottest time to go to the movies.
Years before it became dubbed as, you know, a dump month.
Right, it's just like they just shoved it there, so it's like I was almost set up to fail, at least box office wise. But I love that movie. I just watched it not too long ago.
It launched Craig L. Baxley's career. He did all other kinds of cult movies and some awesome miniseries, and it's kind of fun because it's also a who's who of Lethal Weapon and Predator. You got Sonny Landham, you know, as Mr. Quigg. You got Robert Dobby, Special Agent Johnson, and then you got, again, just all these, you know, Bill Duke as the captain, and
a subdued captain, Bill Duke turning that stereotype on its ear.
Thousand, and who cannot forget when Al Leong gets shotgunned at the freaking
Al Leong. Don't forget Vanity, the late great Vanity.
Vanity, Mary Ellen Trainor.
What a wonderful, and Sharon Stone.
Yep, she was dynamite. This was before some of her other forays and before she got typecast, but I mean, it was just so interesting seeing like you say, just Carl get his own special movie. And this is before, you know, A Low Down Dirty Shame and Black Dynamite kind of paid tribute to the blaxploitation genre. It's Undercover Brother, and I can't forget about Death Hunt. Now I have yet to re-see that one. I kind of recall that one being a little slower, but I know it's kind of a cult favorite because it's Lee Marvin versus Charles Bronson, and he's one of the deputies.
Yes, and he sleeps with a buffalo woman, as he calls her.
Oh.
And I believe he says, any of you want a piece of this buffalo woman? It's probably the line of the movie. But yeah, he's in there. You got to keep warm up in the Yukon. It's cold up in Canada. So yeah, he's up there. Andrew Stevens is one of them, as Monty's as well. So it's a good one. It's been a while since I've seen that one too, but yeah, again, the name Sundog, perfect.
Right, again, like I say, it must be in his contract. Give me a quirky name that only I can own.
Right, it's not like, who do you play in this movie? Bob. Oh, that's interesting. No, it's never Bob. It's Sundog. It's Apollo. It's Jericho.
So I have. Okay, well, apparently I have seen The Four Deuces years ago. It's like a gangster spoof comedy. I apparently didn't rate it too high. I guess I must have found it boring, but it has Jack Palance in him, and he plays a taxi cab driver.
that one's not one I have seen.
Oh, wacky. But yeah, I mean, like you say, pretty accessible resume. Anyone who wants to see before he started, he has guest appearances on Six Million Dollar Man, Kung Fu, and Starsky and Hutch.
I have probably
seen the Kung Fu episode, but I definitely have not seen.
I'm trying to think if I remember him from Good Times, because they replay Good Times.
He's in.
I don't remember that episode.
He's in the nude episode, plays Calvin Brooks, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't seen the recent Magnum PI. I couldn't get into that guy. Sorry.
No, did not watch the new Magnum.
Yeah. And I think the problem is everyone was acting like I had this pre-prejudice. I'm like, no, I get that it's going for that same kind of mindless thing as the new MacGyver, which I think is okay, but kind of not worthy of the name. But I like the new Hawaii Five-O just because the stunts are dynamite and it's kind of like martial law, but same people, believe it or not, working on it. But
that would make sense. Yeah.
And this one is like, it didn't matter what it was trying to be. I just thought the story, the spot, it's like the main crime fighting and cast and acting was fine. It's just the main spy subplot kind of took me out of it. I'm like, okay, this is feeling too much like Fast and Furious and James Bond on steroids. Slow down. It'd be like if you mixed a triple X movie with a Bourne Identity movie. It's just too much tone to have to go back and forth. That gets in the way of all of what you otherwise might enjoy. And I was just like, it doesn't matter what it's trying to be. I'm just kind of just, I'm zoning out here. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's apparently on the TV show Colony, which was on USA for 3 years, and I unfortunately missed. But
missed that one too.
Yeah, so plenty to jump in at any time, and like you say, even though his TV shows are kind of short lived, they're all readily available for the most part. And
yeah, I'm actually surprised that Street Justice didn't immediately start streaming as soon as I spent the money to buy the DVDs, because that's usually how it goes.
You're right. Just as you find a loop in the price to where you can finally buy it or find it at a thrift store, it comes on Amazon or Tubi and you're like, you bastards.
Yeah.
You're watching my bank account, aren't you? But yeah, like you say, I mean, it's just such a chill dude. Like, I forgot that he was also in some of those Old Spice NASCAR ads briefly, but I missed those. But I think I did see, so he was during the final season of ER, he was the dad of an injured boxer. I see what they did there.
Nice. Oh,
I will have to watch that episode. But like you say, he's just, everyone's kind of seen him, and his movies are popular enough to where your parents or uncles should have already shown them to you.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're not an old timer like myself, you probably been shown a Rocky movie if you're any kind of action fan or just movie fan. I mean, Rocky appeals across the board.
That's just it. It broke the mold and how it changed how sports movies were made. Cause for the longest time, it was kind of like, other than like The Longest Yard, there weren't too many that like, you know, hit on how it could apply to anybody, an ex-con, a loser trying to make a name for himself. And it revitalized that whole thing. And again, you know, it's the reason Dolph Lundgren was known, and then just so many of the other guys associated with, I mean, even freaking Michael Dorn from Worf from Star Trek. He's one of Apollo Creed's bodyguards. He's just a featured extra in every scene. So, I mean, everybody got their start on the first four movies, and it's cool to know that, I don't know if it's just that he's just too cool for school, or that he was able to kind of do a lot of characters similar to that, or Predator, or what, but he just suits whatever he's been asked to portray, and you don't feel like he's like too dry or too muscly, you know, or too much of a badass to where there's no suspense. He kind of is just able to just kind of be just naturally dramatic without over dramatic or over the top.
And yeah, you could say almost chameleon like. He kind of blends into whatever he needs to be into.
Chameleon. He focuses on him, and anything that might be a mediocre TV movie, you can't really blame him for being in it, because it's just like, hey, it's there to fill time, and he was the first one up because. And it doesn't ever really feel like he's like a last minute replacement, like they couldn't get someone else. It's like, no, you're kind of who we had in mind. You were doing both TV and movies back to back. And you just happen to be at this venue at that time and place. And there's still some move. I still need to see Dangerous Passion. I haven't been able to see it, and I hear it's not great, but I will see it because, again, he's one of the action greats. Yeah. So
Exactly. That's the reason I sought it out. And
did you think it was okay, or was it just kind of meh?
You know, it's listed as an action crime on IMDb, but it certainly, the action is seriously like.
It's like it, a
it's more it's more of a yeah, like a almost I don't want to say like a it's more of a thriller, I would think. That's probably a safer way to describe it, because he kind of gets involved with Billy Dee's wife, and it's all, you know.
And it makes sense why he was part of it. John Davis, a Predator, and the Shaft movies, and yeah, produced it. So, of course. Hurricane Smith is kind of fun, because like my pal Erica, who's Andrew Devoff's social media coordinator, she's seen it, some of this one a lot, because she's a big fan of the main bad guy in it, Hergen Prochnow, you know, from Dallas Boot
and
Beverly Hills Cop 2. And it's kind of wild how this one kind of starts off slow, and then it kind of goes into Action Jackson Commando territory. He just racks up the body count.
Yeah, that was one I wanted to see for years and years and years, and then it popped up on Tubi, and I was like, yes, here we go, finally.
It's that the plot doesn't break any barriers, because you're just like, yeah, I'm kind of just here for the star to kind of just take me on the ride.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter if it doesn't. It's kind of like some of those other goofier movies like Renegades or 50-50 with Peter Weller.
And even the cover, you could see like why some places were trying to pass this off as Action Jackson 2, but
yeah,
and it has a very similar cover to him in Vanity, not as formally attired as they are on the Action Jackson cover.
Surprisingly, Action Jackson and even Hurricane Smith, I didn't really see too much at Blockbusters, but I would see them a lot, like listed at like individual like libraries or something. So
I remember, I think we had whatever, we either at HBO or Showtime, whenever Action Jackson hit like premium cable. We had that channel when I was growing up, and I remember taping Action Jackson off of that and probably wearing out that tape just of the scene with the car.
Well deserved. Oh man, that's awesome.
Definitely one that and I think if Action Jackson even would have been made maybe 5 years later, there would have at least been a direct-to-video sequel of it. If not a theatrical release, I'm surprised
they passed on it. I think it's just Sony cock-blocked it. They were working with Laura Moore, and then they sold their library to Warner Brothers.
And Warner Brothers just put it on the shelf.
Right.
It's just because you think of so many movies that have had sequels,
and you're like, he was already on the TV circuit before being a brief movie guy in the early 70s. To throughout the 80s, and he is able to do these back to back with literally again five different TV shows. So I think that's just it. He got comfy, and he just always did a hell of a job, and people thought he was a decent dramatic actor. And again, you know, people, we love Apollo. We like the movie Predator.
I see there's also this TV movie Breaker, which says it was another failed TV pilot. So that one didn't even get a couple episodes.
I was listening to Andy Richter's podcast, and I know Paquette Brewster, you know, who you might know from Community and Criminal Minds, said that a lot of the times, you know, she had the misfortune of being on a few failed pilots, some which were kind of cult items at the convention. One that was like a Star Trek spoof years before the Orville, and she noted that a lot of the times producers would be smack talk behind everyone's back and act like, oh, you killed it, you're the reason it didn't make it to air. So I wouldn't be surprised if he had his share of that, where it's like, okay, keep talking smack, I'll still be around.
he's
you already gave me five different pilots, so clearly you want me on your TV screen somewhere.
they kept trying it. So he really hit the stride, I think. Yeah, once he got on Tour of Duty, then Street Justice, then In the Heat of the Night.
That was Tour of Duty is wild, because it's like that allows him again to kind of be the military guy without just being a knockoff of his beloved, well, I don't know if beloved, but just his popular Predator character.
Right.
And that time, you know, he's kind of just being a guy who just gives a lot of tactical stuff as well as advice. And I think that's just it. I think everyone's just like, hey, the dude is an athlete in an acting form. He is literally coaching you. He is. It's just helping you out. But I haven't seen the Sasquatch Gang. I think I saw part of the comebacks, and that was kind of a meh sports spoof.
Neither of those for me at this point in my life, at least. But I'm willing, you know, again, if I happen upon, with all the various streaming services, if I happen upon a Carl Weathers movie like Hurricane Smith, I will sit and watch it.
Well, I'm sure happily.
Happily.
A lot of his movies could totally appear in like a Mill Creek DVD.
One of those. Yes.
But fortunately, he hasn't really had to have that opportunity. His mainly just like, again, just two giant franchises and then, well, free at this point, if you count voiceovers, and then a bunch of TV and recurring roles. And I do think Heat of the Night definitely helped him out, because again, he really complimented that ensemble. You're the new up and coming sheriff, and everyone trusts you.
Yeah, and Max, you know, that makes him somebody for, you know, that's probably what your grandparents were watching back in the day.
Oh, well, I wish I could ask him now. I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, those are the types. So have mine. But yeah, I mean, that's what I would expect.
One question I wish I could go back in time.
In the Heat of the Night, Matlock, Murder, She Wrote. That's what they were watching. So it's like, okay. So that's why, again, I think he appeals to all kinds of audiences, young people, old people, everybody in between, everybody. I mean, he's doing freaking Toy Story.
He's doing freaking Toy Story. And even with the blaxploitation ones, he's not necessarily even playing a gangster. He's just mainly like a vigilante or a guy who got, you know, corrupted. Yeah,
it was a hired killer in Friday Foster with the great Yaphet Kotto and Pam Grier.
Yaphet Kotto, yeah.
I think he gets to try to kill Pam Grier when she's in the shower. So, I mean, if you're going to kill Pam Grier, why not do it while she's in the shower? Right, Carl Weathers? You lucky son of a gun.
And it helps that Bucktown, you know, you're also working with Fred Williamson. I mean, dude.
Pam Grier in that one as well, yeah.
Yeah. And it's back to back. And I'm sure he's got stories about that. Yes, but yeah, I mean, so you're working with all these badass. You're working with Kotto, Pam, and Fred. And then again, I'm sure Spielberg gives you a lot of applause. He says, hey, one hell of a guy. You know, he and Lance Henriksen were both just mild supporting roles on that one. And then, yeah, Force 10, you get to work with Harrison Ford and Robert Shaw and Franco Nero. And then, yeah, Death Hunt is, again, Bronson and Marvin. And then, again, when you get the Stallone and Schwarzenegger in camp, then, yeah, you've conquered all the tough guy.
Yeah, I mean, other than like the only one he missed was like Chuck Norris.
Bruce Lee would have been fun had he been.
Yeah, obviously Bruce was a little bit tougher because he wasn't around very long. By the time Carl Weathers was acting, Bruce was unfortunately no longer with us. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, technically even Clint Eastwood being in the Magnum Force.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
So
I heard that you're gonna play this guy who called Apollo. Say hi to that Italian guy, Sloan, for me. He kind of freaks me out. But if he wants to be one of my spaghetti westerns, I'll kick his ass.
Yeah. I can't say that was a good Clint impression, but whatever. I don't remember him and Think Like a Man too. Because
I never saw it, so yeah, I couldn't say I remembered him.
Ho-hum.
I do remember him. He turned me out Pointer Sisters video for Action Jackson. Him in Vanity at the pool hall.
Hey, okay, I'll have to check that one out. I might have seen part of the Michael Jackson video he was in, but he apparently appeared on the NFL's pre-draft coverage during the 2017. So
why not?
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, that's kind of cool.
Well, he was a former Raider, so maybe he was there to give his thoughts on.
Yeah, but that is cool, because there's so many other people who will kind of come on MLB or ESPN. You're like, why are they here? Like, I've seen all kinds of celebrities that would appear on like NBC or Fox half hour. And I was like, I literally you gave me a nothing interview. Were they just like the first celebrity you saw at this event and you called them up? And half of their answers was, oh, and then you cut to commercial for time. So I, that was a waste of network space, if you ask me. But I'm sure that was cool because, you know, there's so many other people. It's like they were in sports, but not long enough to really observe enough about it. Or again, they're like Nicholson, where they're at every basketball or football game. So it's like, right. Well, okay.
Oh. And again, I think Carl Weathers obviously had such a long acting career. People don't are almost shocked to know he was in football.
Yeah. Because
he's been around acting for so long. It's like, when did he even have time to be a football player? And he doesn't look, I mean, he's obviously, oh, but he looks great. I mean, he, you know, he's not aging.
Yeah.
He's aging well, gracefully.
He really is. I'm sure he never... He just realized he didn't have time to slack on the fitness. It was like, because that's for both football and for acting. You know, you want to look your best. And
yeah, that I was going to say that probably helped having that football background, because that's probably been part of his, just it's his routine. Like he's always worked out.
And he's always like you said, shape. Chameleon. So he's an all-out adapter. Apparently he also studied boxing, gymnastics, judo, soccer and wrestling. So that was St. Augustine Private High School.
He's the man.
Louisiana, New Orleans. So he aced it. Well, any other closing thoughts? Where would you rank him in like the top movie stars of the 70s and 80s, or action stars for that matter?
Oh, see, now that's again, is that why he's done so well? Because you never
can make an easy top 50, top 100.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if it'd be top 20, but definitely top 50.
Yeah, top 50. Top, I might say top 25. I might put him in at 25.
Because there's just so many, but
yeah, it's hard.
So many different stars we love. And he definitely had it better than Dolph Lundgren. Dolph Lundgren's issue was that he just seemed to always just be on a cool movie that just always had a misleading poster or studio that didn't know what to do with it, even though it was clearly a Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis type formula he'd been handed.
Right. Yeah.
And Dolph, he still had Stallone.
He had a rough go of it. I don't know. Yeah. It seems odd.
Even though he spoke English pretty well, it's just like
exactly
the make of the handsome Swede.
Right, he didn't have the Van Damme and Arnold obstacles to overcome. He didn't have,
Everyone who I know who has worked with him said that he kind of got rid of his ego pretty quickly compared to Seagal or Van Damme.
And then Seagal, who's just his own thing.
And, right, he works for himself, so therefore. Yeah.
Dolph, you know, didn't have the luck. I mean, that's why I think I remember being so excited for Dolph in Universal Soldier, because I'm like, okay. This is, you know, Van Damme's kind of on his way up here still. And now Dolph is, you know, this gives Dolph a real good vehicle. And that's one of my favorite Dolph roles. Is
probably, I think it is for many. Just
because he's so Andrew over the top. Scott. And so he's got the ear necklace. I mean, it's very memorable.
Oh, the way he even holds it up.
Yeah. That he did so well in that. I forgive him for killing Apollo Creed in
just this once. For even trying to kill Jet Li in Expendables. I forgive you. And I think it just helps that also, like, Carl, I mean, you've already mentioned how he just attempted all kinds of things and it paid off. Just whenever he stays busy, like, you kind of just, again, he feels at home with the ensemble, because he also is often given an unusual but pretty, like, either a polite or just a natural badass character. Like, you can totally understand. It's like, yeah, he looks like someone who could take him on. Like, it's very rare. He has like everyday kind of man roles, as opposed to like, I need a specific type.
Right. He's not a superhero. He's not the unstoppable super soldier.
I mean, I hope he's a superhero.
He's one of my heroes, but
if he were to play a superhero, what would he play? Would he play? The original Black Panther when you play.
He could have, yeah, he could have been Black Panther if they made the that movie back.
He did praise Michael B. Jordan for his Creed Jr. role, so that's
cool. Yeah, so that, yeah, that would work.
So I guess just he and Stallone just probably couldn't come to agreement on.
He could have been, was it, is it Cyborg? He could have been Cyborg.
Oh.
Yeah, easily.
Hell, I mean, kind of like Wesley Snipes. I know Wesley had an ego too, but like he and Wesley just kind of just come on as like, you're a dancer, I believe you. You're a boxer, I believe you. You're.
And the good thing about Carl Weathers is, at least as far as we know, and as far as the Internal Revenue knows, he pays his taxes. So
no,
yeah, he had that advantage over Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. And I mean, just those early roles were just so huge to where it's like, yeah, I mean, he's set for life. He really is. He can't. There's just no way he can sink.
And that's the other thing, you know, after those big Rocky movies, especially again, as that franchise rolled on, it just seemed to get bigger and bigger until probably five, but yeah, three, it just got, you know, he could have been like, nah, you know, I'm not going to go on TV. I'm a movie star.
He could have done that. And
why
I guess,
would I? And then he probably would not have continued.
I think he just slot like an athlete. He's like, sure, I'll do this Street Justice show for 2 years. He didn't know. You want me to take over for Carol O'Connor and the guy from all these other art house movies, who's Sidney Poitier's replacement? I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, who was that? That was a one hell of an actor. It was. He was in a Milos Forman movie. God, was that actor?
Was it Howard E. Rollins?
Yes, yes, Howard E. Rollins, and the movie he was in, Ragtime. I just thought it up before typing in it. Yeah, and A Soldier Story. Yeah, he was a cool guy too, who unfortunately passed away way too young. But, yeah, I mean, like you've just summed up, he is just an. Such a charismatic dude, and I mean, if he were doing to just start doing a random training, whether it was on acting or boxing or hell, just a random military school, I would sign up. I'd be like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, if he comes on the screen, you're not turning off the TV, you're not walking out of the
screen, yeah,
and see him, because like he's engaging.
He's engaging, and like you say, he isn't showing his age. The camera loves him. It really just practically is in love with him. And even if he does very little, like he does, I can't say he does much in, again, you know, Little Nicky, he's just playing his character for like 1 minute. But I mean, even in Forrest Sin for Navarone, he gets to do some badass things, and he has very little speaking, but he's still is a very instantly likable guy, despite.
Yep.
So regardless of what's on the script, you feel like he belongs where he belongs. And like you say, it's been a total missed opportunity. He should have totally been in the Expendables by now. He should be in just any other movie right now. I don't know why, with all the other people who are making cameos like Kurt Russell and what have you. And then again, maybe he doesn't want to do that. And that's cool
that could
too.
Be too. That could be, you know, that's always, I think, as fans, we get caught up with some of that thing, like, wow, this should happen. And it's like, you never know, it could just be like, no, I have zero interest in doing that. I have zero interest in going over to Bulgaria or wherever they're filming the Expendables. Right. And I just don't want to go. I just want to stay here and enjoy myself. You know, one thing I always wanted to do, or hope they would do, was merge Action Jackson and RoboCop together, since they both take place in Detroit, where
we have a new back from there for
a we have a new RoboCop, and like Jericho Jackson's like the chief of police or something. I think just that little something would be, and you know, again, doesn't have to be a huge part, but he's just there and just kind of continue merging those two Detroit worlds together.
Very nice, very nice.
It hasn't happened. It probably won't happen. I won't get upset if it doesn't, but boy, will I be thrilled if it ever does.
Yes. Oh, man. And truth be told, I mean,
And now it's recorded that I came. So if this does happen,
if it does happen,
we could point to this and see I was talking about this way back when.
I hope along with the movie rankers guys, they invite you to a special screening or interview.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful.
And like you say, I mean, he does seem approachable. Like he does seem like someone who would be very polite in an interview and maybe wouldn't even care what kind of coffee you got as long as you gave him coffee.
Yeah, he's one of those ones. Like if I would, you know, I don't go to too many like the conventions or anything. But because I look and there's never anybody that really jumps out at me. Like some would be like, yeah, it'd be cool to meet him or her. But I mean, if it was Carl Weathers, it'd be no doubt about it. But he doesn't seem to do those types.
Yeah, I'd risk COVID and go see him.
Yeah, see, well, that I'm talking even pre-COVID. Like, you just never saw. I know that the Fright Night cast did something in, like, Pennsylvania. And that one really was pretty close, but I didn't make the trek. So, but Carl Weathers, if it was anywhere in driving distance, I'd probably go meet him. Because he's been in so many things I love. I mean, and he continues to make things, so he can continue to entertain me for years to come.
I absolutely. Like he could be gone for like the next 20 years, like retired. And
I've got stuff to catch up on or just stuff to rewatch.
It would be cool if he was just even just like a judge at like some WrestleMania type thing. Like I would tune into any kind of otherwise lame reality show if I saw that. If I saw him like being an entertainment judge, because he just seems like someone who's just grateful for anything, lived life with no regrets. Like he just seems and just feels that way. He just, yeah. I don't have anything to just. And again, it's just a total rarity because there's often just like someone else, anyone else has often just had just like a rough go of it, like bitter divorce or just got burned
like
out.
Went on a bend, it was like on cocaine or something for, you know, and because it's the thing, he was in that cocaine era. Mm-hmm. He was in the 80s. He was a big star in the 80s. He could have easily got hooked on something or done something crazy or, yeah, no. You never hear about that. He seems to be a genuine, wonderful human being.
Absolutely.
And a fantastic actor.
And fantastic actor. I've never seen anyone talk smack about his acting, though, too. Often there's always just one. There's almost always, yeah.
I'm sure if you dig deep enough, you'll find somebody.
Maybe, but like usually.
Taking a crap on something he did, but.
Usually I see it, though. Like usually, even in
IMDb. You seek it out.
You're looking for trouble. Or I find
you're looking for trouble, I think.
There used to be all kinds of like people who would just like, I mean, often it's got to be someone like who's high profile and you got to wait for the comments before you can actually to tell if it's okay, you're just jealous of them because they're famous or you heard something. Right. But then there's other ones where it's like, yeah, I can't blame you for like them because you've only seen their first two big roles and they weren't good in those, but they're good in these other five movies. So I don't know. You have to wait for their comment section before you realize, okay, well, you've only seen them in like one movie. So maybe they were miscasting that. Maybe they weren't bad, but the movie sucked. But I don't know. I don't know. And like you say, I mean, you got eventually it all fades out and the good wins. Again, you know, just I can't even see anyone else playing the freaking Apollo Creed role.
No.
Who else would have done it? Fred Williamson wasn't really doing anything mainstream. And unfortunately, you know, it wasn't as progressive back then. Most actors were often playing
in all those blaxploitation movies, and that's all they could get in. And like he broke out of that and was able to.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just convinced someone. He's like, hey, you know, because everyone had to be polite and get through some of any kind of bigotry.
It probably helped. You know, he was working with Stallone, who himself was a struggling actor.
I wouldn't be surprised if Stallone said, "This is the guy, or I'm not making your movie." You know, right, he was known for doing that.
Right, like you know, it wasn't like he was in there with like some big time star who was like, "Who the hell is Carl Weathers?" No, we need to get somebody with some name value in here.
Even when Stallone had an ego, he was never to the point of, I don't care about anyone because they're not named me, you know.
right.
He was just in that he just wanted to play hardball because he wanted some creative control. And sometimes it backfired and sometimes it was better. And other times it was just like, hey, you know, it is what it is. It's a Stallone joint. Oh, man. So this has been a dynamite round having you on here. And we'd love to have you back, especially to talk to the sniper movies and other cult film franchises, even TV shows, if you want. We might just do a Street Justice special bit.
Oh, that'd be something. Yeah, definitely would love to come back. I'm sure we could work that out down the road here when our schedules all match up and technology isn't causing us headaches.
This was fine. We just had to wait it out, man. This was a crazy beginning of the year. What are you reviewing next on Bulletproof Action?
Well, as we're recording this, Section 8 comes out later this week, so I'll AMC have that Plus. Review. Yeah, AMC Plus has got it. I'll be covering that. So that's got Ryan Kwanten, Scott Adkins, Dolph Lundgren, Dermot Mulroney. It's an all-star cast, and it was a good movie. I'll give you a spoiler. I enjoyed it. But you can read my review over
at bulletproofaction.com. So many people, why do you think it is they think they can't make a good movie in 2 weeks? I've seen so many that were filmed for almost that amount of time. It's like, if you got a big budget and you're working overtime, you can.
Right. If you know your
lines.
And that's the thing, like, you know, especially like, you know, Dolph and Scott Adkins are in it. They're not in it. They're in it enough to be effective and impact. Yeah, but they're not like the main thing. So, you know, that helps too when you have that kind of varied cast where you can, all right, we're going to focus on your stuff for this couple days and your stuff on this. Yeah, and boom, 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 you can get it done. So that's coming up. I'll probably, I don't know what else, you know, I know Accident Man, the sequel comes that'd be next month in October.
Oh, yes.
So that's another one that I had the pleasure of screening early. So I will be covering
that. I'm glad that you get those opportunities because there's so many other sides where they don't get a screener unless they ask really, really nicely.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you get them and sometimes you get ignored. Like it was Day Shift. I was like, are they going to be completely just didn't even give me the no. Right. We're not going to be scored, you know, you're not big enough for us, get out of here. They're just ignored, and so I just watched it as it came out. And sometimes I do, yeah, sometimes I get the screener, so you just go with the flow. I love action movies, so whatever. If I can't watch that, I'll watch something else. That's what Tubi's for. So.
Right? Yeah. Tubi, man, so much good stuff on there. I'm glad they started doing their originals.
They did the what was that, Dead Zone zombie movie? I know that one's out. Chad Michael Collins, who's in the Sniper sequels, as you were mentioning Sniper earlier. So
yeah,
he seems to be a very good guy as well.
He's very interactive and he's been in a lot of video games. So again, he's another guy is like, that's the way to go, just do all kinds of just multi things, you know, do a video game where you're like doing motion capture and a voice, do a car commercial, and then go back and try and get a supporting role. And
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, and I think maybe a lot of, and that's the other thing, I think TV just has changed. Video games are seen, and you know, it's not like the 80s,
it wasn't like
you couldn't be in Pac-Man in 1982, okay, that wasn't happening. But nowadays you can be in these things and it's more acceptable, and that's why you're getting more talent involved, and
right,
you know,
and you pretty much know where you stand and what kind of movies you're gonna watch before you even, you know, press play. So there's no, and just I think everyone's just getting tired of occasional toxicity to where everyone's just like, hey, you know, eventually the negativity is going to fade out. Eventually everyone's going to stop going to that blog if all they're doing is just ranting or talking shit.
Right.
And you guys do good at just also like breaking down, like, what's the best one liner? Is the body count worthwhile? Is the action good? But is the action good?
Right. You know, and that's always been my thing. It's kind of like hit the highlights, because I could tell you this is the greatest movie of all time, and you're going to be like, you're insane. But if I just tell you some of the fun stuff that I enjoyed about it, well, hopefully you are amused by that at least. I try to keep things totally light because it's freaking action movies. It's not life or death here, people.
I hope it's not life and death otherwise.
Just have some fun. It's supposed to be an escape from all the crap of the everyday. So that's, you know, that's what we hope to do. And I've always been my goal with the website.
And having done this podcast for 3 years, I think a lot of people are also wanting to get on there too. Is like, yeah, you know, we can do collaborations. Doesn't have to be this year. We can do it, you know, next year. We can be, you know, we can be patient. Yeah. And somebody says like, oh, let's do it now. I'm like, I don't have time. Maybe right. In a month.
We're, especially if you're covering evergreen topics like the career of Carl Weathers. I mean, we could have talked about this 6 months ago. We could talk about it 6 months from now.
Oh, totally.
It's still going to be awesome. I mean, it's not like it's a dated type thing.
Yeah, it's not
like, oh, we missed it. We missed our window. No reason to talk about it now. So.
Oh, totally. And the last thing anyone wants is to just have to cram in too many movies, not get time to actually enjoy them, and then be like overwhelmed, like, oh, I didn't take enough notes, because I will see others is like they'll watch the movie 2 to 3 times. I'm like, I wish I had that.
Right.
I gotta go feed the dog. I gotta mow the lawn, and then I gotta come here and record, and then edit in the next hour after dinner. Yeah. Don't overwhelm yourself to where
that, that like, is one thing.
Now this is work.
Like and I've been there before where I like will take notes on a movie, but then I don't get to write about it right away. Then I go back and look at the notes. I'm like, I cannot read anything.
It doesn't make sense.
None of this makes sense. So then I'm like I kind of remember stuff. So it's like I'll throw the movie on again while I'm typing up my review, and it's like, and then it starts some that it'll jog my memory some, but it's like, what was I writing? Was it dark? Was I upside down? How did I even write?
It's even funnier when then you watch it again. You're like, man, I must have enjoyed myself too much. I wasn't on anything, and yet I really don't like it. It's clearly a 2 a.m. movie because it's not enjoyable while watching it during the daytime.
Yeah, now that I'm awake and cognizant of what I'm doing, this movie is not that great. So, yeah.
Okay, well, man. We went to town here. I hope you stay safe out there and, you know, have some uneventful events at your local theater. If you're still going to the movies.
I will go. Yeah, I do go to the movies once in a while.
It's been a minute. Last time I was there, I was like at someone's birthday party, but
there you go. Doing the theater rental gimmick. Yeah, that I think theaters will let you probably rent them. They just want money at this point.
Yeah, they're already re-releasing stuff now.
So the pandemic really did a number on their whole business model. So, like, yeah, right. Come here, rent. We don't care if there's three of you here. Just sit here and watch something on our giant screen.
Right. All right. Something that doesn't interrupt your flow. Oh man.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.